From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. For many families, September means back-to-school activities, shopping for notebooks and pens, new clothes, and reuniting with friends after summer break. But for thousands of students and their parents experiencing homelessness, back-to-school means stress and the frustration of navigating enrollment and attendance without the security of a place to call home. We talk with Baltimore City Public Schools homeless student liaison Alan Blackwell, and with a formerly homeless mother of three, and with healthcare for the homeless social worker Debbie Wilcox.
Homelessness in and of itself is a very stressful situation for children and for their families. With kids moving around a lot, accessing school and attendance is usually impacted.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. For many families, September means back-to-school activities, shopping for notebooks and pens, choosing new clothes, and reuniting with friends after summer break. But for thousands of students and their parents experiencing homelessness in Baltimore City, back-to-school means stress and the frustration of navigating enrollment and attendance without the security of a place to call home. Later in the show, we'll talk with a social worker and a formerly homeless mother of three to get a personal take on the process. With us now is Alan Blackwell, the homeless and foster care student liaison for Baltimore City Public Schools. He's here to explain the educational resources and support available for families experiencing homelessness. Welcome to On the Record, Alan.
Thank you for having me.
What is your role as homeless student liaison?
So as the homeless liaison, I oversee the entire homeless program for Baltimore City Public Schools. That includes overseeing social workers who work with our families directly through service providing. I work with the community organizations around Baltimore City to connect them and educate them on homeless services. And we also work with the shelters around the city just to educate and also to inform families on the services provided by Baltimore City and making sure that we follow through on our part of that deal.
We heard about someone who experienced a pushback from a school administrator. This wasn't in the city. A school administrator about whether or not a student was really homeless. What happens in such a case?
So in those cases, they shouldn't actually happen. As a part of the McKinney-Vento Act, which is a federally mandated piece of legislation, we are to enroll students without paperwork or any documentation if they state that they're homeless. The pushback should have not happened because we know that our schools are a place of safety, are supposed to be a welcoming environment for families. And if they're not able to get that at school, then they seek it other places. One way in which we address that is through my work as the homeless liaison. I'm an advocate for both the school system when we're working on outreach, but also for families when they're having internal problems with the school system.
So if a family says they're homeless, school system is supposed to take their word for it?
Yes. So it's a self-identifying position. And all you have to really do is enter the school system through the Office of Enrollment or through the principal, the administrator at the school, and let them know that you're homeless, either through verbal, which is one way, or if you have something written that states that you've just been evicted or anything like that. Any documentation is not necessary, but anything that we can do to help is always an asset.
You mentioned the federal McKinney-Vento Act.
Yes.
Tell me more about what that does.
So the McKinney-Vento Act was created to give a support for homeless families. The two senators that had controlled this bill or put the bill through had seen the area where families were having difficulties enrolling their children in school, not having the paperwork that's needed. Also, once they entered the school system, were lacking the resources necessary to have success. And the McKinney-Vento law created the ability for us to assist families at the place of contact. And that once they enter a school building, it is our job to assist the family in any way possible, just so that we can alleviate some of the issues that we know they would experience outside. Maybe I would say that it's a way of them looking at schools as a safe space. And how can we better utilize that space?
Does federal money come with the McKinney-Vento Act?
Yes. So we're federally mandated to cover it. The Title I office is where our funding comes through for McKinney-Vento. We also receive funding from MSDE that gives us additional
Maryland
support.
Maryland State Department of Education.
Yes, give us additional support in some of the wraparound services that we provide.
How many students in Baltimore City Public Schools are experiencing homelessness?
Last year, we documented 3,700 students that were considered homeless in Baltimore City. We know that number underrepresents the total population.
It's not clear to me why you think 3,700 was an undercount.
So most of our students that are documented as homeless are elementary age students. That means they've showed up to us with their parents. Their parents are able to advocate for them. And we know that a lot of our high school students who may have doubled up, which means they live with a friend or family, or they're transient where they're living in multiple locations, even some living in abandoned homes, are not going to be represented because, one, they may not know the service exists, or two, they may not have the access to the places that or utilize the places that will give them the information for McKinney-Vento. And then I would say the second way we know that it's underrepresenting the numbers is that a lot of our students have found coping mechanisms. Our families have found coping mechanisms to work around having to ask for assistance. So they may utilize a lot of the resources they have access to getting what they need, but the problem comes that we don't address housing, which is a great concern. We don't address employment, which is a great concern. We really deal with the student and the student's needs. However, we know that this is a part of a family, and sometimes the family's needs are not addressed.
So 3,700 was the count last year.
Yes.
And that was, how did that compare to the year before?
So the year before we had 2,600, which was a 34% increase from the previous year. We've actually have increased around 25 to 30% every year I've been on. I'm entering my fourth year in the position. And I believe a part of that is that our families are becoming more educated on McKinney-Vento and what their rights are. So there are more families that are reaching out for assistance. In addition to that, with the economic climate of the country, a lot of our families are vulnerable and they're looking for assistance. And school social workers, which are the primary resource, are letting them know that there are other resources that we provide, not only in the district, but outside the district.
That's Alan Blackwell, homeless and foster student liaison for the Baltimore City Public Schools, here on The Record on WIP. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the educational resources available for students experiencing homelessness. You've mentioned some of the things you do. What resources does your office provide for students?
So we provide up to six resources that are documented, but there's a lot of other additional resources we give. The first one would be transportation. A lot of our families need a way to and from school. We provide transportation either through a cab service, through the city MTA system, or some schools, a school bus. Another way in which I think we meet the most of our families where they are is a need for uniforms. We know that a lot of our students don't have the clothing that's necessary to have success, and we provide a $150 voucher for each family, for each student enrolled in schools, in city schools, so that we can provide some of the things that are necessary. The beauty is we work with a store, Herman's, that not only provides the uniforms, but we also provide some of the underwear and other items that they may need so we can address the whole student and we're not limited to just the clothing items that get them to and from school. The other biggest one is fee waivers. Our high school students, a lot of them have fees associated with attending high school and graduating, and we provide a way in which they don't have to come out of pocket for those fees, and we cover that expense for them. Finally, we do community supports through our tutorial program, which is located in eight shelters around the city. And we also do a lot of community outreach with the mayor's office for her back to school and her homeless services, where we are able to connect families to either a social worker, a guidance counselor, or a school administrator at the school so that they can have the assistance that they need and that they have a soft handoff. We're very big on not leaving people in the cold to find their own way. But to be a soft handoff or a person that holds their hand in some cases to what the resources they are entitled to.
Tell me more about how the tutorial program works.
So our tutorial program, we've hired state-certified educators who will go into one of eight of the shelters around the city. We work with 11, but eight we provide a tutorial service in, and we teach life skills. We'll do homework enrichment. We'll do technology. We find ways in which where the needs of the family and how can we help them. Also, we have a component for educating our parents on how to navigate the school system and giving them resources that may help to alleviate some of the issues that they're having, such as food through our food pantries that we provide in the schools, and also access to some of the outside resources that have funding mechanisms to support the family but are not through the school system.
In addition to the resources you were talking about, what other programs does your office operate?
So we provide several programs that assist families outside, one of them being our summer camp program, where we will, through the YMCA, employ students through youth work. Our high school students get priority so that they're able to have employment over the summer. And on top of that, safety and security. And also our elementary age students attend a camp at Camp St. Vincent's, where they're bused to Patterson Park, and they receive services on the spot. They have a normal summer camp like everyone else, and we are able to address some of the issues that they may have. And the beauty is, through our camps, we're able to identify our homeless students before the school year starts, and we implement services so that on day one, when they show up to school, they receive homeless assistance. It's not they have to wait a week or two. They can get it as soon as they walk into school.
Roughly how many kids attend the camps?
So this past year, we had over 200 kids that attended both camps. The numbers have grown, and we're always looking to expand out on that. And one of the beauties is that Camp St. Vincent's actually provides transportation to and from camp so that the students are and the parents are not left to have to find their own way there. Inside of our schools, we also provide closed closets. And our closed closets is a way in which we are able to address the need on the premise. We know that through the voucher program, it's extended because someone has to come to my office and pick up the voucher and bring it to the family. And that may create a lull in them receiving services. I prefer if they're able to go to the school and receive that. And there's 50 schools that you can look on Baltimore City Public School website that will be listed where you can get those services. But if your school does not provide those services, we still do a $150 voucher for each student enrolled in city schools that's homeless.
Are there homeless student liaisons in every Baltimore City school?
Yes. So the school social worker is documented as the homeless liaison for each school.
What if in the middle of the school year, the family gets a permanent home? Do the resources go away?
No. So the beauty of McKinney-Vento is the family receives services the entire school year, no matter at what point they come into the system. If they came in on the first day of school, they will receive it to the last day of school. If they show up on the last day of school and they still are having the same issue the following year, we still assist them through the year. We don't end services once you're in stable housing, because we understand that you may live in a house that considers stable, but to get out of poverty or to get out of the situation that put you in that position takes a little bit more time. And we work with families through that time so that they're not left to fend for themselves once they have stability.
Thanks for giving us this overview. Thank you.
Not a problem at all.
Alan Blackwell, homeless and foster care student liaison for Baltimore City Public Schools. He's been talking about the resources and support available to students experiencing homelessness with regard to enrolling in and attending school. After the break, we'll talk with a social worker and to a mother of three to ask how she navigated enrollment for her children while her family was homeless. I'm Sheila Cass. This is On the Record. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about what back to school means for students experiencing homelessness. We spoke earlier with Baltimore City Public Schools homeless and foster care student liaison, Alan Blackwell. Joining us in the studio now is Debbie Wilcox, a social worker in pediatrics and family medicine at Healthcare for the Homeless. Welcome to On the Record, Debbie.
Thank you, Sheila.
First, talk about some of the barriers homeless families could run into when enrolling their kids in school.
So some of the initial barriers that I've seen with homeless families is upon entering the school to enroll, they're asked to produce a lot of documentation for their children, which they may not have due to their homeless situation. issues around getting their kids to and from school, as their homeless situation is a barrier to getting their kids and their families around. School supplies.
Just that they would not. Uniforms. They would not have them.
That's correct. The finances to be able to pay for these items while they're in a homeless situation.
Supplies and uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of questions do you field from clients about this?
So the primary questions that I've dealt with clients is, how do I access getting my children into school? How do I access resources for them? And in fact, over this past week or two, as parents have been getting their kids enrolled in school, I fielded several calls and talked with parents about their rights and their child's right under the McKinney-Vento Act to help homeless students access immediate enrollment and supportive services so that they can get to school and get into school.
Is this something they're asking you sort of before they've started dealing with a school, or is this something they're asking you after they're sort of in the middle of the process?
It's both situations. So I usually before school begins, I will prep parents and remind them about enrolling, review with them about their rights under the McKinney-Vento Act. And then, you know, again, in the last week or two, I've taken several calls from families and kind of listen to their situation, listen to their child's circumstance, and walk them through the process of how to deal with these barriers to getting their children enrolled because they're in a homeless situation.
Some people might be surprised that a nonprofit called Healthcare for the Homeless is involved in this. Why is this a mission for Healthcare for the Homeless, helping kids get registered in school?
Because part of Healthcare for the Homeless, when we think about health, we look at the entire person and all aspects of their life situation. And I know that working with families and children, we don't just look at physical health. We look at mental health. We look at social health. We look at emotional health. And we look at all the barriers that affect kids and families doing well.
And how can being homeless affect a student's academic or social experience at school?
Homelessness in and of itself is a very stressful situation for children and for their families. Again, with kids moving around a lot, accessing school and attendance is usually impacted. Folks who live in shelters or who are doubled up, it's challenging getting your homework done. It's challenging, concentrating and sometimes getting the support that you need to do well academically. You may not have some of the supplies that you need to get assignments done. So these are just some of the stressors and challenges that families have.
This is On the Record on WIP. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the challenges homeless students and parents face when it comes to enrolling in and attending school. Debbie Wilcox is with us. She's a social worker in pediatrics and family medicine at Healthcare for the Homeless. Joining us now by phone is Danielle DeShields, mother of three. Last year, Healthcare for the Homeless helped her navigate the enrollment process. Welcome to On the Record, Danielle.
Hi, how are you?
Just great. I'm glad you're joining us. Tell us what you were experiencing last year trying to enroll your children in school.
A bunch of runaround. The school district denied the kids would come into school if we didn't have everything they needed. They wasn't really, pinpointing us where we had to go. They weren't really showing us, how the kids, if we didn't have birth certificates or social security cards or whatever at that moment, they were denying our kids for signing up for school. They were just turning us around with a lot of stuff that we couldn't get a hold of at the moment.
How did you come in contact with Healthcare for the Homeless?
We made a doctor's appointment with the children. We were in a shelter, actually, and they guided us to Healthcare for the Homeless.
Debbie, is this a typical way clients would contact you?
Yeah, I mean, we have families that schedule appointments, they'll come in, or they may just present as a walk-in. I've also received calls from clients I've worked with even in the past who will call and ask questions about getting assistance around school issues. So yes, there are multiple ways that families get to us so that they can get help.
Danielle, what kind of assistance did you receive?
Help with birth certificate, clothing, vouchers, book bags, school supplies. They helped with a lot.
Was there sort of a turning point in your dealing with the school system? When did it start to go smoother at some point?
Yes. After Healthcare for the Homeless, you know, told us about the act, we started going above the people that were turning us around.
And how is your family doing now?
They're doing great.
Tell me about them.
They're in a new school district this year. Everything's flowing smoothly. Everything's a lot better than last year. Everything's perfect.
You're no longer homeless?
No. No, ma'am.
That's great. Debbie, are there experiences of other families that come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, over the years I've seen, you know, many families that have had situations just like Danielle, where they've tried to enroll their children into school, and they have been met right in the front office with barriers around needing certain documentation to get their children in. And even just this past week, I was working with a mom who we called a school together and spoke with the pupil personnel worker, and I was vouching for this family's homeless situation over the phone, and the pupil personnel worker would not guarantee that the family would be able to get their children enrolled in the school. It was actually quite astonishing.
Well, help me understand this phrase, vouching for the family's homeless situation. Mm-hmm. The school did not want to believe their assertion that they were homeless?
That's correct.
I'm confused about why there would be a suspicion that someone would make up being homeless.
So I can't speak necessarily from the school's perspective, and this was not in Baltimore City. But basically, parents should not have to provide any kind of documentation around their homelessness. The parent's word should actually be more than adequate. I can't really speak about this particular school and why the parent was getting that particular kickback, but I can certainly tell you that the children did finally get enrolled in school, and that's the important thing.
I'm glad to hear that, but what would be the incentive to say you're homeless if you're not?
So one of the values of the McKinney-Vento Act is it does make enrollment in school for homeless children immediate, and it comes with these supportive services for homeless children. If you're not in a homeless situation, you would have to produce all of these documents. You would have to produce the up-to-date immunization records. And you actually don't get assistance with school uniforms and school supplies. So perhaps from a school perspective, they want to make sure that only students that really are homeless are getting these services. But in this client situation, it delayed enrollment for these children almost a week.
Danielle, what would you like listeners to know about your experience?
It was difficult, but you got to ask questions to get to where you need to go. There's always somebody out here that knows, you know, more than you. So there's help everywhere. You just got to find it.
Debbie, what would you add?
I would definitely add that Danielle's absolutely correct. In each city and county has a homeless student liaison who is responsible for helping homeless families resolve issues at the individual school level. And in addition to that, the Public Justice Center also has an attorney that's dedicated to helping homeless families resolve school issues. So those are two resources that families can certainly access if they're feeling like they're not getting the response they want from that individual school.
I appreciate you both talking to us. Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Danielle.
Thank you.
Debbie Wilcox is a social worker in pediatrics and family medicine at Healthcare for the Homeless. We've been talking about the challenges homeless students and parents face when it comes to enrolling in and attending school. And Danielle DeShields is a mother of three, who shared her experience. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have a link to resources available at Healthcare for the Homeless and at the Public Justice Center. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you've been listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks!